Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In the Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for dropping by on this Thursday morning. Looking forward to our conversation.
Thanks, Dan. It's good to be back with you again.
So, Shane, when we spoke last week, you mentioned that this week was going to be a big one for Congress. I know they have reconvened following a two-week recess. There's a lot of agenda items, though I know there's a lot of focus currently on aid packages. We've spoken recently about those for Ukraine as well as Israel. Does remain a controversial issue up on Capitol Hill. So since we last spoke, I'm curious where this all stands today. Maybe if you have any insight into the timing of a vote on these aid packages and what the aid packages might consist of.
Yeah, no, and I think as we're kind of accustomed now with D.C., there's some chaos involved with this issue, and the aid packages are in flux. You know, as Congress comes back in the session now, you know, Speaker Johnson is trying to figure out how to advance these aid packages for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, and it's not a straightforward line to the finish line here. What we're seeing is that Zelensky, essentially pronounced that without this aid, Ukraine will lose the war. At the same time, Speaker Johnson is facing a revolt from within his own party, and which has led to the strategy and the contents of the package being shifting as we talk. And what is going on kind of behind the scenes is trying to get former President Trump on board so that it provides Speaker Johnson some coverage and the flexibility and the ability to bring this package forward. To get former President Trump on board, he's being courted by a number of people, including former British Prime Minister David Cameron. At the same time, Speaker Johnson is meeting with some of the agitators and the Republicans who oppose for the Ukraine aid, trying to bring them on board without much success. So this is fluid. And at the same time, there are questions about the aid to Israel as well, because, while the Senate has already passed the package, the House could pass that too, but the problem is it includes the Ukraine aid. So if they were to alter the package and just focus on, let's say, Israel, it would have to go back to the Senate. But the problem is, since the Senate has passed this Israel package, sentiment has changed, and you have enough senators who'd want to condition aid to Israel that would, again, change the details of the bill. So there is kind of a real back and forth here, not only on Ukraine, but Israel as well. So things are really fluid. And so, I think, we can't say how this is going to land in the next few days. And I think it's just going to be moment by moment, Speaker Johnson and his allies are kind of flying by the seat of their pants here to try and figure out how to get this across the finish line. I still, at the end of the day, think there'll be some kind of package for Ukraine and Israel, but the contents and details of those contents are fluid.
So just diving a bit deeper into, you mentioned the issues House Speaker Johnson is facing amongst his colleagues as it stands today. What are the implications of this all to Mike Johnson retaining his post as House Speaker? We spoke recently about prior threats by some within the House GOP to remove him from his Speaker post over the Ukraine aid package, though I have seen new reports this week suggesting that those efforts perhaps have escalated.
Yes. So, and that escalation to some degree was expected, because remember, as we talked about, I think last time, which was, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, put out this motion to vacate, but she didn't actually call it up for a vote yet. And I think what you're seeing escalate is as Speaker Johnson talked to Congresswoman Taylor Greene, you know, progress wasn't made there. So, you know, the prospects of her bringing this motion to vacate up for a vote is increasing. I think, you know, there is a fairly good chance that she moves ahead. Now, that brings complications, right? You know, will Democrats essentially help save Speaker Johnson, which, you know, kind of emboldens Congresswoman Taylor Greene and others on the hard right, saying, you know, Speaker Johnson has lost his faith within the Republican conference. And now because Democrats saved him, they'll argue that he's now beholden to Democrats. So I think this is partially a messy distraction that, you know, not only divides Republicans, but inhibits Congress from actually acting on things like aid to Ukraine and Israel. Now, Speaker Johnson is not just lying down. He is actually, I think, scheduled to do an event on election integrity with former President Trump to try and get President Trump, you know, in his corner and show kind of unity between former President Trump and Speaker Johnson. You know, if there's one person that Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene often listens to, it's President Trump. So, you know, we'll see if President Trump's kind of engagement with Speaker Johnson helps his cause. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, this speaks to the chaos of Washington, D.C. right now, and it demonstrates that there's more chaos to come.
It is a fascinating situation. It will be interesting to see how this unfolds. Thinking back to the outcome of former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, what happened there. I do want to stick with legislation. One more topic before we close out for this week, Shane. This is actually following up on a topic we've previously covered, and it does tie in the theme of geopolitics for this week. I did hear that there is a bipartisan effort within the U.S. Senate, which is aimed at stemming the flow of sensitive technologies to U.S. adversaries, a call for implementation of better export controls. So what exactly does the plan call for, and how might these efforts take shape from here?
Yeah, that's right. Senator Maggie Hassan from New Hampshire, she's a Democrat, has joined with Senator Mitt Romney, Republican from Utah. They are the chair and the ranking member of a subcommittee in the Homeland Security Committee, and they're working together in a bipartisan manner on how to strengthen enforcement of export controls. You know, it's one thing to have these export controls in place, but, you know, if you don't enforce them, you know, what value do they actually bring? And the focus here is protecting national security and preventing, you know, adversaries, most notably, you know, China and maybe Russia, from acquiring and misusing American developed technology. You know, and most notably in the semiconductor and semiconductor manufacturing equipment. And those technologies are very important for a variety of national security issues. So good to see them, you know, not only introducing bipartisan legislation, but they held a hearing to discuss this. And I think, you know, this is has a chance of advancing this year, but there are questions about, you know, kind of going back to our previous conversation about the chaos in Congress, you know, how does it get across the finish line, and is there an opportunity for it? I think, you know, if there's one thing that brings Congress together right now, it's being tough on China, so that increases the chances. But I think the U.S.-based semiconductor industry would look favorably upon, you know, Congress really trying to, you know, reiterate this issue by passing this legislation, not just having, you know, kind of a law that doesn't have teeth behind it. So increasing the enforcement mechanisms would put some teeth to it and, you know, could make a difference. So, you know, while it's April, and there's plenty of time this year, you know, the election is around the corner. So, you know, I think this has a window of opportunity in the coming weeks and months, or maybe it languishes until closer or after the election. But we're going to keep an eye on it because it is one of the few bipartisan things that I think could happen this year.
Yeah, we'll see how this takes shape. And to your point, always nice to see an example of bipartisan collaboration up on Capitol Hill. Though, Shane, as always, thank you for dropping by, spending some time with our listeners, our clients this week, keeping them informed. I wish you a nice weekend and do look forward to picking back up with our conversation again soon.
Absolutely, Dan. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to catching up next time.
Sounds good. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been speaking with Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. I do want to remind our listeners, as well as our clients, that the latest Washington Weekly publication may now be located up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.